We spoke about, I play to win the game. And it was a very tough message to pursue holiness and godliness and righteousness and flee from the desires of the world. And it was tough. It was a hard message, but also a message to encourage every single one of us to really examine ourselves and really not play with fire or really not play with sin, because we know the results of sin at times can lead us in. Not at times, sin can lead us to destruction and so forth. But this morning, there's even something even more stronger that God has placed on my heart. And I just want to share with you this word, the word of God. Remember, if it's been offensive, it's the word of God. It's not me. It's not my word. I'm here just to share what God has placed on my heart. I practice it first. I examine it first on my life, and I want to share this to the congregation. So I do encourage you to pay attention to what God has in store for us this morning. It is a difficult message to take and to grasp. I have to tell you this. It's not an easy message. But through this, I know God will touch the lives of the people. Remember one thing, not all in his kingdom, not all in his company are in his kingdom. Did you get that? Not all in his company are in his kingdom. And that can be also a New Hope Christian Assembly. People are scared of commitments. It's first of all, turn to chapter 14 of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the third book of the Gospel. I don't have a PowerPoint on this morning. My computer was something wrong with it, so please forgive me on that. But I encourage you to open your Bibles if you have, your iPhone, your iPad, whatever it is that you have in your hands. Just open it, Luke 14. There's some important word that God wants to share with us this morning. So people are scared, in verses 25 to 35, people are scared of commitment. It's not a man thing, it's not a woman thing, it's a human thing. People are scared of commitments. People don't like commitment because commitment means surrendering some of your own autonomy, rights, and that scares people. We see in the general things of life, we're scared to buy something. But when we see something that we like or a product, we say, oh, this is good for 3 months. It's okay. I'll take it 3 months because there's no actually a commitment. There's nothing to sign. There's nothing there. I'll take it. But after that, you got to have a commitment for 24 months to pay. I don't think anybody likes commitment in that sense. We're scared of that because it's a responsibility. It's work. You have to do it every month. You got to pay that bill. And I'm the one who goes and will go through that. Anything that I want to buy, I'm going to say, for 24 months, commitment, I can't do that in the long term. It's not good for me. But I'm afraid of that kind of commitment. I don't like that kind of commitment. And I think none of us like that kind of commitment. Do you want to be committed for 25 years to 30 years on a mortgage? I don't think anybody likes that. It's a big commitment. It is a responsibility. And we're scared, and some people are scared in that kind of commitment. But also some people are scared even to commit into relationships. We see that every day. Oh, I'm going to try out, I'm going to go out with this girl for 3 months, and if it works, I'll stay with her. It's okay. But if it doesn't work, if it doesn't work, I can turn around. But if it works, man, I got to stay for the rest of my life with her? A commitment? Really? We don't like commitments, long-term commitments. And those are the general things of life. No obligations offer, no need commitment, no long-term. We are scared of commitment. So we are also scared of committing on products. When we buy things, we're scared of committing on relationship. But let's not be surprised, people of God. Let's not be surprised. There are people who are generally scared in committing to Jesus Christ in the long-term. They're scared to have this commitment with Jesus Christ for a long term until the Lord picks them up and raises them up and brings them to himself in the kingdom of God. So let's not be surprised, there are people. So not everyone in this company are in this kingdom. There are many people who like Jesus. There are many people who are interested in Jesus. There are many people who like the stories of Jesus. There are many people who like to hear the gospel of Jesus. But there's also people who are not committed to follow Jesus until the end of the days. And it's in the kingdom of God. It's even in the church, in the company. We like to hear stories like that. We like to hear the stories of Jesus and all the miraculous things that he has done. But when it comes to commitment, whoa, I can't commit. It's pretty intense. But we're going to look through the scriptures. We're going to start in verse 25 here a moment of Luke chapter 14. It says, "Now great crowds were traveling with him, so he turned and said to them," just stop right there for a moment. Here it is now, great crowds. There's a crowd right there following Jesus. And in that crowd, there were people who were following Jesus because they were committed to follow Jesus. And in that crowd, there were people who were just there listening to and fascinated with all the stories and all the parables, what Jesus was saying and the miraculous things, what Jesus was doing on the earth. There are the great crowd was there around Jesus. But not everybody in that crowd were actually committed to follow Jesus until he went to the cross. They were just fascinated with all the stories. They loved what he was saying, what he preached. He turned and said to them, go ahead, verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Oh Lord, help us right there. We're going to get to that point and explain it to you, verse 26. But here I want to dig out into this text this morning, to dig out to these verses, what God is trying to bring out this morning. And he looks at this large crowd and that enjoyed his company. And then he comes out with this most difficult question and shocking question you can ever even imagine, or offensive things that perhaps that Jesus ever even said. This is a hard passage that we're going to look at this morning. And Jesus trying to tell us through this math passage this morning, Jesus wants to make us a point through this passage this morning. He wanted us to make it crystal clear for you and I. So he turns to the crowd and brings out a question. If any one of you wants to follow me, for example, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, and then the last word is, he cannot be my disciple. To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, here's basically what it's trying to tell us. You got to hate your mom, your dad, your wife. That's all? Like, really? I got to hate everybody to follow you, Jesus? That's very strong. Am I right? But it doesn't mean exactly what it's trying to tell us here, because Jesus usually speaks how? He makes a point to make us understand what he's trying to say. He does not really tell us to hate our mom and dad and children, because if it really, he's going to contradict what the Word of God tells us. So it's a speech, you know, it's a figure of speech he's trying to give us. He's trying to bring us a point. So the first thing this morning that I want to look at, a true disciple loves Jesus supremely. We're looking at a true disciple, the cost of following Jesus. A true disciple loves Jesus supremely. A large crowds were following, traveling with Jesus. And turn, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever, verse 27 tells us, does not carry their own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And then in verse 33, we can look at it later on and say, and in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, there are three things that you and I must do in this verses here that Jesus is trying to teach us. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach the people right there. He goes, if you want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, a true follower of Christ, there are three things you must do. You must hate your family, you must pick up the cross, and you must sell all your stuff. Basically, that's what it's trying to tell us here. That's all. Hate your family, pick up your cross, and sell everything. It's pretty hard to accept. It's time. So a true disciple loves Jesus supremely. It's true that sometimes people have the love for Jesus so much that we know some Muslims become ex-Muslims. And when they love Jesus more than their family, what has happened is when they accept Christ as their personal Savior and they're committed in following Jesus in long term and they become a Christian, that family, what they can do to this person, they push them aside, they exclude them, they put them out of the book. You're not my son, you're not my daughter any longer. There are people who suffer this way around the world because they love Jesus more than anything else. The love for Jesus is supremely. It is big, it is awesome. That comes before anything else. But all of his strength, love, and so he loves Jesus, or she loves Jesus more than anything else in life. Now, you might say, do I have to hate my family? No, let's make it clear. Jesus is not telling us even in, it's a figure of speech here we're looking at here. Jesus is not telling us to pick up the cross in a construct a cross and put a cross on your shoulder and go to work and go to school with that cross right there. It's not what he's trying to tell us, because if you're really going to do that, the meaning of someone who picked up the cross in Jesus' times, in Jesus' days, is you're going to a place of execution. So now you're really going to say pick up the cross? No, what he's trying to say, die yourself and follow me. That's what he's trying to say. Everything about me is not good, it's dead. I'm like a person who's dead walking on this earth. And then he tells us, sell us everything. Can you really sell you everything? I can tell you one thing. It's very hard for us to sell us things. Very hard for us to sell things. It's a hard choice what that person had to do to follow Jesus, to make that long-term commitment to follow Jesus, and now he becomes an ex-Muslim, he becomes a Christian, and his family is being betrayed him as when we look at this. So a true disciple loves Jesus supremely with all of his strength, with everything, and says Jesus is first and foremost. Now, if I want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, the first thing that comes to my mind when I get up in the morning is to love Jesus more than my family. But the thing is this, the more you love Jesus, the more you spend time with Jesus, the more you invest your time with the Lord, the more the love will grow in your heart, and the more you love your family. God is not a person to be fooled. He's not stupid. He's not going to tell you, hate your family and just love me first. That's like being conceited and caring for himself more than anything else. Now he goes, a true disciples, love me supremely. Love me first. Because when we love the King of Kings, when we love the Lord of Lords first, when we love our great shepherd, when we love him first, all things will fall into place. That's the first thing that we got to do, is to love Jesus supremely. That's the first mark of a true disciple, is to love him with all of your strength, with everything about your inner fiber being, everything about you. Say, I want to love you, Jesus. I want to spend time with you. And how are you going to love Jesus more? Very simple, spend time with him. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more your love will grow for him. So I encourage, and I know we do that in this church, and I do that we do in our homes, spend time with him more. It's not about a show. It's not about people. I want to see people loving me. No, I want to see people like that. I'm worshiping the Lord in this way, and it's demonstrating the way the love is. Yes, it does. But the thing is, God knows our heart. The most important thing is when we spend time with him alone at home, or in a place of quietness, and spend time with him and love him more. So a true disciple loves Jesus supremely. The first mark of a true disciple is that. And then if he goes on in chapter 14 of Luke in verse 28, 30, 31, and 30, we're going to read this together. And the second thing is, we got to count your cost deliberately. Count your costs carefully. How could you build? So what it's telling us here in verse 28, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? And then you go into verse Third, it says, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Then verse 31. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down? There's an extremely important thing here. Won't he first sit down? That's the first important thing we got to do. We got to sit. We got to count the cost before you go out war. You got to count the cost. You got to examine it. You got to be careful before you build that tower. You got to see if you have enough money before you build. You're not just going to build without no money. You're not going to go far. Then verse 31 says, suppose the king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? Verse 32. If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. So we see here that we've just read these verses here. There are two parables if you really look at it. One about the tower and one about the war. 10,000 men and 20,000 men. He's saying that if you're going to build a tower, you're not going to rush into it. Take your time. Examine it first. Be careful. Count the cost before you start building that tower. I can tell you one thing. If you're just going to start building your house and you have no money inside your account, you're not going far. So you're going to have to count the cost first. You're going to say, do I have enough? Can I put my first $20,000 down? And okay, my first $20,000, can I have enough to continue the second stage and the third stage and then put on the rest of the stuff? We got to count our cost. Because the rest, you're not going to go far. We don't want half-built towers. We need to have complete towers and complete things. It is useless when you start something and you don't finish it. So count your cost before doing something. So we need to realize that we're getting into before building, count the cost. And Jesus is clarifying to us on being a true disciple. Three things that he's mentioned here. Hate your family, bear the cross, renounce everything that you own. That's all you got to do. Do that in your true disciple. Does he really mean that for us? Does you really mean to hate your family? No, I don't think so. Does you really mean to throw everything away and to give all your stuff away? I don't think so. So no, in old church, it doesn't mean to hate your family. No. Jesus is literally saying, hate your family. Jesus used his figures of speech to give his word of greater impact, like I said before. So we need to understand this part that's extremely important. So when we go back and we look at chapter verse 28, 30, 31, and 32, the first thing when you have to do count your cost is you got to first sit down. And he's trying to tell us, sit down. Sit down first. Be careful. Be wise before going on and doing the next step. Seems that I'm missing a little bit of pages here this morning on my notes this morning. But I'm going to forget about my points this morning, okay? I'm just going to go through the scriptures. I had a problem with my computer and my printer, so I have no idea where my notes are going, but I'm going to follow what the Spirit of God is leading me now. So he says, for which of you wanting to build a tower doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? And it's the same thing, my brothers and sisters. It is not about what happens to be a true, you know, people think, come to church and they say, I'm going to be a disciple of Christ. So what happens is they're going to go to a service, and there's such an emotional service right there. And there's so excitement in that church, and in that message was so inspiring, so emotional, so excitement, and someone just accepts Jesus Christ as the personal Savior right on that time, in that moment. But they forget about counting the cost because they were stirred up with that message. There was an excitement in their heart. And they said, wow, I accepted Jesus Christ. But then you and I know because we've seen it. And then all of a sudden, 1 month later, you don't see that person anymore because they did not take that full commitment to follow Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. It was the message. It was the emotional message that drawn them to make that step of accepting Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. But really did not count the cost and understood and saying, man, I'm going to follow Jesus the rest of my life now? Counting the cost. You got to count that cost. A true disciple is there until the end and counts the cost. And figures out, wow, if I'm going to follow Jesus now, if I'm going to make that, I'd rather have people of God that come to a church will not make that decision that day, will maybe wait another day, maybe wait another day because they're probably counting the cost. When I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, it is a long-term thing. It's not just a wishy-washy thing or that emotional message just made me excited and I give my life to Jesus Christ as personal Savior. No. We want someone who's committed for a long term. A true disciple loves Jesus supremely. A true disciple counts the cost. He counts the cost. In anything in life, we must count that cost, make that commitment to follow Jesus until the end. Until the end, and say, I'm going to build it until the end. And I know I'm going to count that cost. And I know because I don't want a half tower. And that's what we have in our churches. Christians who are just there around the crowd. They love the stories. They're fascinated with everything that's going around in the church. But you don't see a full commitment in Jesus Christ. You don't see the step that they're going toward Jesus more and more every single day of their life. Now, it's not because you and I have seen those things, because it's biblical. The Bible tells us that. Even in Matthew, we see it. Not everybody will go to heaven. The world is what? Narrow. Lord, Lord, but I don't know you. It's sad to hear that in the churches, but they're also going to be that in the churches. If the Lord comes today, and I just pray he doesn't, but if he comes today, I can tell you one thing, maybe 50% will go up, and maybe 50% will stay down. And think of that for a moment. I'm not here to judge on that, but it could be. It could happen because they made that commitment to follow Jesus of an emotional message, but never were ready to count the cost until the end of their time. In my encouragement through the Word of God is a true disciple is everything that we love Jesus more than anything else. More than your stuff. More than your family. Because when you love God more, when you love Him more, when you spend more time with Him, your heart will be filled with the love of Christ. So, love Jesus supremely. Count the cost. In chapter 14 is something for us to really understand as when we see this morning. Sit down and calculate the cost, it tells us. Then again, the other parable says, sit down and decide if he's able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. Now, you're not going to go to war with one individual and you know there's 100 there. You're going to count the cost. You got to check it out first. I'm one. There are 1,000. How can I overcome that? Count the cost. Count the cost. A true disciple also, number three, a true disciple endures to the end. Endures to the end. A true disciple was John that stayed until the cross where Jesus was. That's what we should learn at. Whatever the cost it was, whatever the price it was, John followed Jesus to the cross. A true disciple endures to the end. Does not waste any time. Goes right away, he pushes through because he loves Jesus supremely. He counted his cost and says, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to count the cost, the long-term commitment. And he went all the way and endures to the end. Because look at this in verse 34 and 35. Look at this. It's extremely important here to understand. It says, now. That means it doesn't make any sense. He finishes what tells us to hate our family. He tells us to carry the own cross. He tells us to sell our stuff. Now he goes to verse 34. Now salt is good, but if salt loses its taste, how would it be me salty? You understand it? It doesn't click. Why isn't it ending perfectly? Like, but you have to look at the first word. Now. So it does go in the story. He speaks about it. Because now is important to understand for us. If you love Jesus supremely, if you count the cost, if you stay until, endure until the end, now there's something of responsibility for you and I. Salt is good, but if salt loses its taste, how would it be made salty? Do you know that we can lose the taste of salt even in the church? But salt, without the saltiness, without that taste, it is incomplete. It is no good. You take that salt and you throw it in the garbage. It doesn't make any sense. You ever buy some salt that doesn't taste like salt anymore? It doesn't go with you. It doesn't go with your stomach. It doesn't go with the food. So you need to have the saltiness, the right thing to have the great taste. So even as Christians, salt is important. The saltiness is important. And how are we going to keep that saltiness? How are we going to keep that salt that's always there for us is being the characteristics of Jesus Christ, and that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22-23. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Keeping that salt, that taste there is important for us to understand. So we look at this as now salt is good. But if salt should lose its taste, how will it be made salty? If it's fit for the soil, for the manure pile, they throw it out. Anyone who has ears should listen. Jesus is trying to tell us something here this morning. He's trying to encourage us this morning about picking up that cross daily and say, I died to myself, Lord. I died to myself, Lord, and I'm going to walk until the end of the days. I'm going to go until the end of the days, Lord, until you call me home. A true disciple loves Jesus supremely with all his strength, with all his soul, with everything about him. He says, no, Jesus, you become first in my life. The first thing that when you wake up in the morning is you open your eyes, connect with him and say, I am alive today. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And you spend time with him. It takes a minute of your time daily to say good morning to him. It takes 1 minute just to look up the scriptures and just read and spend time in the Word of God. So love him supremely. Love him with everything you have, everything you got. Don't you want to go until the end? Don't you want to be with him until the end? So the first thing is he says, love me supremely. Love me supremely. Then pick up your cross. Sometimes in life it's all about me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. It says, die to yourself. It's like I said before, if you're carrying that cross in Jesus' times, it was bringing to an execution. It was bringing him to the cross and dying. We got to do that daily to ourselves. Daily to ourselves. So a true disciple also endures to the end. It doesn't look like these verses went together, but there's something that's important for us. We said, but now. He's explaining to us about that. So if it's not bringing to a complete, if you have the salt and it doesn't bring to a complete, the salt is worthless and the salt is not good anymore, we throw it out. But we are believers, we are children of God, we must keep the salties. All the saltiness, all the time in our lives. All the time we must go and look at the characteristics of the saltiness. If it loses its saltiness, it loses its value and must be thrown away. Children of God, seek the face of God daily. Love him daily and go and get the characteristics of Jesus and get the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life daily. Not everyone who accompanies Jesus is a true disciple of Jesus. And how do we tell the difference? A true disciple of Jesus counts the cost carefully, and a true disciple of Jesus endures to the end. How do we respond to this message this morning here? As when we look at this, how are we going to respond to this message, this passage that we looked here this morning? There are a few things that we need to respond to this message. A passage that is taught to us that not only company are in this kingdom. So what sort of a true of the marks of a true disciple for you and I this morning? If you're going to build, if a true disciple of Jesus Christ is the first thing that we need to do, make sure you're a true disciple. Make sure you're following Jesus more than anything else. Examine your life completely and say, I want to be a true disciple. So you examine yourself and you ask yourself, am I truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? It doesn't mean that you're perfect and you obey everything in the scriptures. It's very hard to obey everything. We fail every day of our life. But you examine yourself and say, am I bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Am I bearing the marks of a true disciple? Is the evidence, is God's work in my life? Do people see that I'm walking with love, joy, peace, self-control? Do people see that in my life? Because sometimes we say something and we'll be the opposite of what we're actually doing. Or actually saying, if you're going to preach that you're going to be a Christian, you got to demonstrate that God is in your life. And that becomes by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You got to ask yourself and examine yourself, is sin your friend or is sin your enemy? That's what you got to ask yourself. Do you love Jesus more than anything else in life? Are you living a life on ongoing repentance? It's nothing bad to go to God daily and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me the things I have done. Maybe the things that you don't even know that you're doing wrong. Just ask the Lord for forgiveness and He will show you. But when you spend time with Jesus more and more every single day of your life, you will see where God wants you to be worked at. But the thing is, what I see at times, people are afraid to go to God in prayer because they're afraid to know what God is going to tell them. But when you go and spend time with the Lord, He will speak to you. But He's not there to hurt you. He's not there to destroy you. He's not there to put you down or to crush you. He's there because He wants to draw you closer to Him. And we take it sometimes, wow, if I go to Him, He'll know everything about me. But He already does know everything about you. He already knows everything about you. Understand that there are people that accompany Jesus all the time, even in the scriptures. And we could look at the 12 of the disciples of Jesus Christ. We can look at the disciples of Jesus. Everybody of them heard the same messages. Everybody has seen Jesus perform miracles. They were there around Jesus, sitting around Jesus when they were eating and they were reclining at the table. But not everyone. All of them were in the company of Jesus, but not everyone are in this kingdom. Because we know one of them betrayed Jesus. And even in our churches, we have people that way. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, do not prophesy in your name and in my name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I don't want Jesus to tell me those words. So we make sure daily in examining yourself, am I a true disciple? Do I really love Jesus more than anything else in my life? Is Jesus come first in my heart and my mind when I get up? That's the questions we've got to ask yourselves. The second thing is we've got to look at is make sure you're making a true disciple. Our goal is making not as many emotional reactions as possible to get them in. Our goal is to make true disciples of Jesus Christ. Which means that we need to proclaim the true gospel. No modifying the scriptures to have a crowd and to have a big crowd in a church. We got to preach the gospel as it is. Because we got to make true disciples. We can fill up this place, and I can guarantee you, we can fill it up fast with a lot of emotional messages. With a lot of preachers that will just make everything goes. You can do that, and this place will be filled. But are we really developing true disciples? It's not the emotional message that brings you to heaven. It's our long-term commitment that brings us to heaven. Being with Him daily, loving Him daily, with all of our strength. So it is our responsibility. You know, sometimes we as Christians want to take the big steps. And I remember as a child, if when we went hunting, and if you just looked at my dad's footstep in the snow, and if we see he had big steps, I can never get to those big steps because they were too far distant from me. But you realize when the steps got shorter and smaller, then I can actually follow those steps and go where he's actually going. It's the same thing in our lives. If you make those big steps, people cannot follow you. You got to take those small steps. Love Jesus supremely. Count the cost. Stay until the end and allow them to follow your steps to come where God wants them to be. True disciple. That's a true disciple. Not about emotional messages. Though we love emotional messages. And church has been filled with emotional messages. But they're true disciples. The third thing is, warn those in your life that don't have the marks of a true disciple of Jesus. Oh, you know, sometimes we're so happy that they're in church, but we're afraid to say, but you're living in sin. Thank God they're in church. Leave them. But we're leading them wrong. We got to tell them. We got to tell our children. We got to tell our family with love. You're living a lifestyle that is not approved of God. It is our duty. But you tell them with love and tell them, listen, your steps that you're going is not going the right direction. If you love them so much, you would tell them. You will warn them with all your heart. But not to condemn. The purpose is to lead them to Christ and point them to Him. It is our duty. I want as many true disciples with Him. And we want true disciples with Him. Amen? So love Him with all of your strength. Count the cost when you make that decision. Say, yeah, I'm going to count the cost. I know. Then walk until the end of your life, until when God calls us home. We know that there are many people who made decisions to follow Jesus. You and I know that. And they're still playing with sin. Just because you just accepted Jesus doesn't mean you're perfect. We all make mistakes every day of our life. Every one of us, including myself. Every one of us make mistakes in life. But that's why I said before, and the scriptures encourage us, ongoing repentance. Daily go to Him and speak to Him daily. That's my encouragement to all of us this morning. Just to love Jesus more and more every day of your life. And I want to conclude with a song that I love dearly to myself. If Ulrich is here, it's a song, I Need You More. More than yesterday, I need you more than anything else in life. You don't have it there? The Lord has really spoken to our hearts. So let's all stand this morning. And I want to tell us, I just want to encourage all of us this morning.